Public hearing is conditional use 1647 BDP Investments LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a warehouse facility. It'll be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 10 acres more or less, lying southeast of Route 9, 960 feet southwest of Road 329 and Route 46. I've passed down copies of the proposed site plan. We received a few agency comments. First one was from DelDOT. They advised that a traffic impact study was not required. From the Sussex Conservation District, the soils mapped on site are berry land, loamy sand, Falsington sandy loam, and Pocomoke sandy loam. The suitability of the soils for the intended use are severe with respect to erosion and sedimentation control. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction, and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction. The farmland rating of the soils for the berry land is it's a hydric soil, and the Falsington and Pocomoke soils are of statewide importance and are prime farmland. There's no storm flood hazard area affected. It would be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. A tax ditch is affected, and for additional notes, the district advised there may be regulated wetlands on site. Check with the Army Corps of Engineers and state agencies, and also that there is a mitigation site on this parcel. And from the Department of Natural Resources, the department has reviewed and advertised your request for a formal variance on the above-mentioned parcel. The advertisement period expired as of the close of business April 11th, 2005. The department has received no objections. The department has therefore approved your request to allow an on-site wastewater treatment and disposal system to be installed on soils that do not meet the limiting zone requirements of the current regulations. The system will serve a warehouse and will have a design flow rate limited to 480 gallons per day. Enclosed is a copy of the approved site evaluation, and that was signed by John Hughes. On April 3rd, the applicant's attorney submitted an exhibit booklet. I believe each of you has received a copy of that. And we have received letters from Ronald and Melissa Williamson, John E. Tarburton, the Williamson's attorney, and also from Lee and Phyllis Waterman. I've passed a copy of those down. They're all in opposition to this application. They'll be made part of the record. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Mr. Wheatley, my name is Tim Willard with Fuquay Newry here in Georgetown, and I represent BDP Investments, also known as Delmarva Insulation, and representing them here tonight is Ken Towers. He's in the Delmarva Insulation so he might be able to answer some specific questions as far as their operation. And in fact, Delmarva Insulation is kind of the victim of their own success. Because they have been a successful building business, and they're doing well servicing construction in Sussex County, which not only includes houses, new houses, and residential houses that they're insulating, but it does also include a certain sect of the agricultural population. And in fact, recently they just hooked up with a Pennsylvania firm that builds chicken houses, and they insulate those, and they plan on keep insulating those. I must say it's also, having spent a couple weeks in the Senate, where they're wrestling with deregulation and green funds to represent a company that actually is trying to make homes and businesses more energy efficient. And in fact, the service they provide can even give some of their clients some tax incentives with energy audits and things like this. And as of May 1st, since Delmarva rates are going up 59%, that's something I think all Sussex Countyans can appreciate. You all have my booklet. I hope I have enough books. They tend to disappear, but I'm gonna sort of follow that as I go through my presentation. I know several of the individuals in the back are here for this, so we've put a site plan, which you may or may not be able to see, but we tried to put one up there for you. It's the same as the one that you're looking at. And I know Mr. Tarburton, a lawyer in Seaford, is representing the Williamsons, and we've also had dialogue, and he's received the site plan before this.
Excuse me, Mr. Willard. Any of you that would like to come up and look at that, feel free. Just do it quietly if you want to get closer to it. All right, sir, go ahead.
As far as the property, it's located about 960 feet west of Whaley's Corner or the old Furnace Road intersection, and it's on the south side. On tab one, although it can't be dark, you'll see you should have an arrow pointing to the property. It's a triangle with this shape. This is the property right here. This is where they plan to put their warehouses and trucks. They actually bought the property from this homeowner right here. And I think you'll probably hear, I know you'll hear from Mr. Tarburton, the Williamsons, a nice home. They live right here, and I know one of the other individuals I spoke to tonight lives actually at Whaley Crossroads. But that is the property. You can see it on the aerial photograph, the Looper photograph. Next to that, in tab one, is the tax map. We submit to you that a lot of the space around this property is open space. Some of it's farm, some of it's not. However, it's developed into a sort of a mixed-use area. And you'll see specifically designated at Whaley's Crossroad is B1, which has been idle right there on the north, I think it's the northeast corner. If you turn to tab 2, you'll get a better feel for the nature of the area. Picture 1, which was just taken last week, shows the frontage of the property. I think it's significant. The property that Delmarva Insulation wants to move their warehouse to is not currently being farmed. It's 10 acres. It contains, and I hate to jump ahead here, but if you jump ahead to tab 4 and look at the attachment to the DENREC approval on the sewer, you can see the tree line. And that's tab 4, second page. You see the tree line. So probably two-thirds of it is wooded. And the proposal for the two warehouses and the parking areas to do it in the front portion that's not farmed, and so no trees would be taken out. Picture 2 shows the Spank Sporting Good business that I think has been idle for some time. I'm not sure what its legal label is, but it's I think it was Smith's Restaurant at one point, and then it was a Sporting Good, but that shows where that is. That's up at the intersection there. This whole property, next to the applicant's property, is John Davis's. Some of you may remember John, a police officer, but he's got it advertised as a firearm salesman, and in the back right-hand corner of it, I don't think it's in the picture, but there's a firing range with a big mound of dirt. And in talking to one neighbor, they said they routinely hear, you know, some test firing, I think, out there. Down the street, probably a good half mile or mile down the street, is, as you well know, is Sussex Tech. And then the whole strip of land further west is the University of Delaware, all this agricultural business. Picture 5 and 6 show a property that has a manufactured home on it, as well as I think what used to be a garage with a large tire and some other equipment in the front yard. And this property is right to the east of the Williamson's home. That is that garage with the stuff in front of it in the mobile home. That's the picture there. Picture seven shows next to that, the mobile home and the garage with the equipment in the front yard is a church, and it's a Baptist missionary church, and there's a parking lot there, and that's on the same side of the road as where the applicant proposes to do his property. And then finally, picture eight is from the other side of the street looking towards the applicant property, and you can actually see the corner of the truck there, and that's, I believe, the Williamson's home that sits off the road there. Between their property and the applicant's property is this property, which has a house on it as well. So we submit this to you as the nature of the area, which is somewhat mixed use. Literally, it's mixed use. There was no traffic impact study required, and that's tab three. Tab four of the booklet I handed you, the applicant has proceeded to get approval for a wastewater treatment, and they have received preliminary approval from DENREC for that. I know there was some, in the letters, there was some reference to notice and whether it was posted or not. We don't really have a dog in that fight. We can't add any information to that other than say they went through the applicant process and they were approved by DENREC to do a mound system in the back. And you can see in the tab where I pointed where the tree line is, that depicts where the mound system big, and it would be right here, and I think handle up to 480 gallons a day, which is probably a way overbuild for the operation, which I'll speak about. And finally, I have a site plan, which is kind of small, but here's what they intend to do and what they do. Delmarva Insulation insulates homes, businesses, new, and they refurbish insulation on homes that aren't insulated well. They have approximately 24 trucks and approximately 60 employees, 60 to 70 employees when they're up and running. And the trucks would be parked behind these two warehouses. Each warehouse is proposed to be 60 and 160 feet, approximately Well, I can't do the math, but 160 by 60 feet. They both be the same size. The proposal is to have all the truck parking in the back. They're box trucks. I don't know if you've seen them. I've seen them around because right now they're located on a little piece of property to the north side of 9. They're sort of, I don't want to say, well, they're yellow kind of warehouse property, and that's where they are. That's where their trucks are. They have brown lettering, all the same, Delmarva Insulation. They're not big tractor trailers. They're not big dump trucks. They're more small and mobile box trucks to transport the insulation to the sites. They have approximately 24 of them. They probably could grow another six or so to up to 30. The intention is to have this property, all the trucks parked in the back. The employees generally arrive in the morning and pick up their insulation and go to their job. We have, and I want to make this clear, I don't need to say this to the commission, but I know there's some individuals here, and I know Mr. Tarburton's aware of it, but what we've applied for is a conditional use and not a change of zone. And with that, we're welcome to conditions and suggestions. We've suggested some, and we've actually tried to dialogue with Mr. Tarburton and his client to see what concerns they have. One is, well, if you have these warehouses here where these guys come in, pick up their trucks, and leave for the day, you know, we have kids being picked up in school, and, you know, traffic is a concern. As a rule, the trucks, and as we proposed, operations would be from 6 a.m. to 6 at night. These box trucks with their loads of fiberglass are on the road well before 8, and they get there, as we proposed, after 6. So they should be in and out fairly early, but not too early, and that's what we've proposed, before the peak hours. Then in the afternoons, because jobs finish differently and they're different sizes jobs, they might trickle in anywhere between noon and 6. So it wouldn't be as much of a all going at once. But in the morning, that's what, and Mr. Towers can talk more about that, that's what they propose. As far as delivery of the material to the warehouses, there'd probably be one delivery per day that would be in a tractor trailer, usually in the morning. The entrance that we're proposing would be along this line. And they come back here, load, and all loading, either unloading of material or loading for the individual jobbers to go out, would be in that secluded place behind the parking lot. Trying to think what else we talked about as far as operation. Excuse me one second. No deliveries on weekends, and don't plan on adding on weekends, and that's, I think, we've put on the on our proposed conditions that the hours of operation would include Monday through Friday, 6 to 6. I think a very important aspect that the neighbors have brought up, number one, their concern about materials, and I think it some of them talk about the septic system, which we do anything DENREC asks us to do. At the time the business is open, there'll probably only be 4 to 7 employees there. That is 3 office workers, and then Mr. Towers, Victor, 3 other people. And they're in and out more, and that's really what the septic's there to serve. But the employees on site for the day are in that number, anywhere from 4 to 7 approximately. As far as the material itself, it's all delivered in large bags. It's never opened. In fact, the bags are put into the trucks. It's non-hazardous, non-toxic material. There are no other chemicals stored in the warehouse. The only other material stored in the warehouse would be fixtures and things that would require, battening the equipment required to put the insulation in whatever project they're dealing with. I know there was some concern about fire or drums of chemicals, and that's just not part of this operation at all. It's really fairly clean and efficient. And this business, and quite frankly, I think that the county is probably a good resource to ask about their business, because they do the inspections, and I think you'll find they have a pretty good reputation as far as the inspections, at least, and they've never been cited out where they are now. So no hazardous materials on the property, other than, the fiberglass and the equipment. I want to address briefly the opposition and check these letters. There was a mention to change of zone. This is not a change of zone. The applicant fully appreciates the traffic concern. The operation is what it is, and the hours we're proposing hopefully would contain that somewhat. And I'm hoping we've described somewhat to the opposition what the process would be. They still might not like it. However, it is somewhat minimized, I think, by being early and then trickling in late. DENREC approved the septic so far. By doing a conditional use, we still have to go to final site plan, which means the entrance permit, the DENREC building permit, would all have to be approved, and in fact the site plan would have to be approved by the county, and we've included that as a proposed condition. I think you have Mr. Tarburton's letter. I don't know if Mr. Abbott read that in, but I think he reiterates what was described by the Williamson's letter. It does indicate that there that we've tried to have a dialogue about it and talk about it, and one thing we've included in this site plan anyway is to do landscaping in the front to minimize any impact here. It's the plan, the building they plan to build is with at least a half stone or perhaps an all stucco facade to give it, make it appealing. And we propose to install a privacy fence along this entire side of the property. We've tried to move the traffic and totally behind here from the Williamson's property, so that both parking and the noise would be shielded. And as consideration to them, I've indicated also that this they do have some agricultural ties and service agricultural industry, not primarily, and I address that just as being consistent with a comp plan for low density. It's a level four area, which you all know doesn't call for a lot of state resources. But if you read the language in the strategies plan, they say for it's level four areas can be appropriate for operations or businesses or industries that otherwise would not be suitable elsewhere. And to the extent Route 9 is a fairly heavily used road, although this would not upset it, this seems like an appropriate spot for it in the center of the county. And we've tried, the applicant has tried to address the neighbors' concerns the best we can, but we're open to suggestions. Mr. Towers. You state your name and address for the record, please.
Ken Towers. I live in Georgetown, Delaware.
And you've heard my representations to the commission, and to the best of your knowledge, are they true and correct?
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to add?
I can understand some of their concerns. You know, I live here in Georgetown. I've grown up here. And we're doing the best we can for where we can. The building, you know, we're trying to help the noise by doing what we're doing with the buildings, keeping the trucks on the one side. And, you know, there's a new red light that they put up right there at the Wheatley Crossroads. So, you know, concerns with traffic, buses, you know, the red light's going to stop traffic instead of so that they can come in and out of their driveways. So, you know, we've looked at this site. We've had it for a couple of years. And, you know, we're just hoping that we can get the approval.
And I'm not going to read the proposed conditions. You all have them. Some of them are boilerplate, but we're welcome and open to suggestions for them, so obviously.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Willard. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Well, Mr. Gordy, it seems to be in your backyard.
Yes, Mr. Willard, why was this particular area chosen for conditional use?
Well, and one gentleman that is a principal in the company is Victor Batusta. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yeah, Batusta, and we've discussed, I wish he was here, and Ken might be able to chime in, but I'll offer two reasons. The centrality, that is, to the county, because they deal with all of Delmarva, not just Sussex County. So the location and the route that it's on is actually convenient, and probably the price of the acreage. Those are the two reasons come to mind.
Is there any other conditional uses in the area that you know of?
Not by record. I have your tax map, and they don't. I don't know if you have one more thorough. You have the tax map in tab one. Clearly, there are uses that are operating there. I don't think that the mobile home and the garage is being used. The pictures you have, which is located here, I don't think that's being used as a garage, you know, for service or anything. You have the sporting goods shop that maybe it's a non-conforming use that over time has been various businesses. It's not listed as your tax map is rezoned. You have the firing range, which I don't know if that's a pre-existing use. To answer your question, Mr. Gordy, I don't see them on your tax map, but I see them.
Can you answer that, Mr. Abbott?
Do you know? The sporting goods store was approved as a conditional use, I don't know, maybe 5 years or so ago.
Yeah, the firearms guy, he's been there firearms forever.
As far as I know, he's been there a while.
Yeah, he may be.
And what's the Banks Sporting
Goods? Banks and Sporting Goods, they went through conditional use process.
So that, if you look at the tax map, you see that little triangle there, that's Banks. John Davis is the 69 acres.
Which one are we supposed to consider? Are we supposed to consider the one in front of us or the one on the board?
Well, the one in the book.
No, I'm sorry, complaining, because mine's completely different than what you have.
Now, the one in the book, and I'm sorry, we probably should have. Do you have any larger ones? Yeah, you do. The one in the book is the one that we've. You should consider. It's the latest one we filed on Friday or Monday, and I have a large one for council or the commission. I'm sorry if you just have the old one. The one in the book is the same as that one, and that's the one we're proposing. It has two warehouses and approximately 60 spaces, parking spaces. Ms. Gordy, would you like to see a larger one?
No, that's fine.
Was a larger one ever filed?
I don't know.
We don't have a copy of it. All we got was...
It's the exact book. Same as tab 5. So if, with permission, I'll submit it for the record. It's certainly easier to read.
Robertson, is that a particular issue for us?
Well, I mean, it was submitted, whatever it is, 72 hours before the hearing.
Was it in the file available for the public to see if they chose or so choose to?
Book that was in the book.
It was in the file?
In the file Monday.
Okay.
The concern I have, and I don't know whether it makes it improper, I have to consider it, I guess, is that somebody coming to look at the file wouldn't necessarily know that they're applying for two warehouses because the site plan, which is defined in the code with certain requirements for a site plan, was the large copy that was in there that was one warehouse. So.
And I understand your concern, and that's, well, I just wanted to get the site plan over to you as soon as I can when we, you know, beefed it up. In fact, one of the reasons it was beefed up, not to add another warehouse and more parking, but we thought, well, this is the time where don't think, well, you want to come back in a year or two and say, I want to ask for something. Do what you want to do there. But simultaneously, we were talking to Mr. Tarburton, who represented the neighbors, and said, what would you like to see there? And we added, you know, the landscaping and the fence. And I faxed a copy over to him of that and the conditions. So.
Will there be any outside storage of anything besides trucks?
Hey, come on up here.
No, that's why we went with the two warehouses, to keep everything inside.
So is this, do you blow insulation in?
Yes.
So you have, what's that come in? You're blowing insulation?
It comes in bags also.
Also?
Everything comes wrapped in bags.
Along with the bats also?
Yes.
You've got customer parking. Why would a person come to your warehouse?
If a builder might be coming to drop off a set of prints, or, you know, just coming to see somebody for a minute.
Okay, so, but you're not going to have a retail?
It is not a retail business.
So someone wants to buy some insulation?
We don't sell it to the public.
Would you have a sign out front?
If it's required. It would be nice to, if we could, but, you know.
Lighted or unlighted?
Whichever would be acceptable.
But it's up, you know. You tell me.
I think Mr. Gordy,
you got it in here?
Yeah, I did.
You got it in your proposal?
Yeah, we're proposing one lighted sign roadside and one affixed to the building.
Okay. So employees would come in the morning, park their vehicles?
And take a truck and leave. Yes.
And you pretty well do all of, what, Sussex, Kent, everywhere?
We probably do 50% of our work to 75% of our work in Sussex County. We go into Wicomico, Worcester, Kent, the whole surrounding area. And Georgetown is centrally located from where we would hit all our builders from, north and south.
And did I read somewhere that you're proposing a fence between your property and the property beside?
We're proposing a fence to come down so the Williamsons, you know, from their backyard, the trucks and everything are not visible, you know, somewhere back into this area.
And what's next door? The mobile home and stuff?
There's just a little house or a house here and then just an open field, open area.
Do you own that property also?
No.
Oh, I wasn't sure if Mr. Williams said that. Okay.
They bought the property. They bought this 10 acres from these individuals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right. So, and they were, I don't know if they're here tonight, really. So I don't want to speak out of turn, but I was told by the purchaser that they were aware of, you know, that they were going to do this application and stuff.
But they do live on site now?
No, it's a rental property.
It's a rental property.
Yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have right now.
Okay. Johnson.
What's the total square footage of your two warehouses you're proposing?
Each building is right around 9,600 square feet.
And what about a stormwater management pond?
And we're both looking at each other.
We haven't submitted.
The McCann's done the plan on this. When they indicated on the site plan, you can see there's no wetland. I understand the soil conservation report. They said, I think soil conservation also said that there's probably no drainage problem. That has to be worked in final site plan. There should be ample space there from what soil conservation indicated, but it's not indicated on the site plan this for conditional use. So to answer your question, Ms. Johnson, it's got to be worked.
So you're not proposing that the landscape area you show in the book is going to be the stormwater management pond?
No.
In front?
No. Right. You don't like them on the road, do you?
It's decorative.
Okay. I noticed you had 34 parking spots for trucks and 17 others, yet you're talking about 60 or 70 employees coming in and having at least 24 trucks there. How are you going to swap all that around? Or do you bus in your employees?
No, but it's interesting because, a lot of the workers live, if not with each other, near each other, and they're not 60 cars coming there, to answer your question. Far fewer than that.
Okay.
So
we average probably a car per truck is about what it comes out to be.
And given the size of the warehouses, Mr. Abbott, is this something that requires a plus review, or I know that idea has floated around.
Would you say 9,600?
9,600, yes.
Times 2, which is 19,2.
They wouldn't have to go to plus unless they were over 75,000.
Okay. And is there, Mr. Abbott, turning back to you again, is there a need for an ag buffer on the other side of the property? It's away from the fenced-in area side, I guess, bordering Mr. Davis's property?
It's not a subdivision, so it's not required.
It's not a subdivision.
Okay.
But when the tax map, when it was originally subdivided, it would show it if it was required. But that would be for a dwelling only, not for a commercial-type use.
Okay.
You could condition that if you'd like, but it's not required.
And I can't tell from looking at this little map, and I can't see that far, but are you looking for a front yard setback for your parking, or?
I don't know how much distance he's got there. Actually, the site plan that they did does not indicate it. I'd only be able to guess. But it looks like if he's got enough street width there, and what's the minimum for the length of parking? I mean, the parking space is, what, 15 feet?
Well, are you allowing...
Mr. Johnson's question is, how much space from the parking to the roadside?
Right, whether or not you're trying to park in the front yard setback right on the property.
Yeah, we're not trying to, and we won't if we can, and if that's a shortcoming on this particular, it won't be on the further site plan. In other words, we might have to shift everything back, but because I see your concern is it looks tight.
Looks tight.
Yeah, and I don't have the exact measurements. I would only be able to guess that it looks like there's probably 15 or 20 feet.
And I would 25. And I would suspect that the commission, if we were in favor of the project at some point, would not grant a front yard waiver.
No, and
given
and
that everything else is rural in that area.
But it's illusory because we have to do it anyway, but we put a condition in there that we have to seek site plan review. So maybe this is just more of a concept, but we'll, if you're favorably consider this, we'll certainly heed that, to get it right.
I have no more questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Burton.
I just have one. Is this all fenced in? Or?
It's not currently fenced in the proposal is to fence just the east side. The wood line goes about here, I think. So this is all wooded. But to do a privacy fence here.
But you're not fencing the around the parking lot where that
it's
marking.
Not proposed.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
But the what do you expect to generate insofar as refuse and type and size of dumpster that you might need?
90% of our refuge is left at the site. Each builder has their own dumpster, and we leave it. Right now we have a It's a very minimal size dumpster, so majority of it stays at the site, doesn't come back to the yard at all.
And the product that you're handling is pretty cleanly packaged, so it's not susceptible to blowing, being strewn about by the wind?
Right. It's well packaged. Basically, it's almost vacuum packed.
And you answered one of my questions. You said you purchased the site about 2 years ago.
At least. Probably might have been a little bit more, somewhere in that area.
And because, as Mr. Willard said, the advantages of that purchase and everything, that's why you're considering this site as opposed to
yes.
somewhere else. This would be a permitted use. What are, and I'm asking that because you've got a lot of residual land that is left. You're just primarily developing what may be 2 to 3 acres.
It could be, you know, maybe 3 acres, but yes, the back of it will be left untouched.
And will that go back to ag land? Will that go into?
It's actually wooded now.
It's wooded.
And the plan is to keep it undisturbed as wooded, but for the septic, which has been approved, which is located back there. So because of the, you know, nature of the property, it just worked out that they had plenty of land and hopefully plenty to do storm water and not disrupt, because it's not being farmed now, so it's, you're not disturbing farmland, you're not tearing down trees, but there's no plan to develop that tree area.
That would remain wooded, as you said.
Absolutely, yeah.
With the exception of the septic area and, I guess, an access back to service
and
keep the drain field open.
Where the septic system is going is, I believe, if I remember right, is in a cleared area. So I don't think we're removing many trees, if any, for the septic.
Any odors associated with the site?
It's a formaldehyde-free product. No chemicals.
It's not corrosive, not explosive.
No. This was not submitted ahead of time, if you're more interested in this. And we brought some for the neighbors, too. A brochure from Johns Mansfield on the product. I'll submit that for the record since you're asking the question, if there's no objection. Formaldehyde free.
Thank you.
All right, sir, Mr. Couts.
To pick up on that theme, would you have any objection if the commission were to approve this to have a restriction on expanding into the rear portion?
No, in fact, the site plan we've submitted, we would adhere to that, and we can't do anything else but that, or even if you don't let us do that, we can only do that which you let us do.
Right, but I mean, if we're conditioned that the site plan...
I should have just said, yeah. No, sir. no, sir.
Interpret that for me.
I don't know. Okay. I think that's what you said, but I just wanted to...
That wasn't double.
And the only other thing is, since this is a concept plan, which I can't see very well, and it's conditioned, and we're going to get a site plan that's going to be more detailed. We don't know, for example, if Deldot's going to ask for additional right-of-way.
Yeah, that's another hurdle they have to go through.
There may be a condition for additional right-of-way. The concern that was expressed earlier about parking in front or setback. just for your consideration, prior to submitting the site plan, to take a closer look at your layout, those factors, and maybe there's another way to present the site so that there's less issues with parking in the front and more display and presentation of your building to the main thoroughfare that gets a lot of visibility, and you might come up with a better site design when you look at it a little closer and take into consideration the issues that have been brought up here. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
I have another.
Yes, sir.
And this is for you and as well as for the audience. You understand that with the conditions that we can place on this property, that it can be just for your business and your business alone.
Yes.
So it can't be like Route 9 where you have umpteen businesses that are in that.
That's where we're located now.
I didn't know that's where you were. You and many other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it,
this is strictly for us.
This is Delmarva Insulation, Delmarva Insulation only.
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing that I think might be useful to point out is that on a conditional use, we can draw a line really anywhere within the property and say not beyond this line. So you have already stated that you don't intend to do anything with the woods. I don't see any reason why the woods should be included in any kind of any conditional use then.
I understand, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. My question for you is this. Did you consider going into Georgetown Industrial Park?
Yes, we did. And after talking with the county, the problem there was that if we put the building up, which we would have to be required to, after we lease the land, the building becomes part of the county. It does not become our building. We cannot buy the land in there.
You can't buy the land.
Right.
Right.
And the building would basically becomes the county's building. But we talked to them just before we bought this property.
And you have in fact purchased and settled on this property?
Yes. They've owned it for over two years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's right. That's what you said. All right, sir, I don't have any other questions. If you gentlemen would kindly stand down for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1647 BDP Investments LLC? All right, then. I am aware that there is a representative of the opposition, Mr. Tarburton, if you would kindly come forward and... tell us everything you know.
Good evening. May it please the commission. My name is John Tarburton. I practice law in Seaford. I was retained by one of the persons sitting in the group, Ronald and Melissa Williamson. Mr. Williamson isn't here tonight. So I don't speak for anyone else but the lady in the maroon jacket that I was sitting next to. Okay. So I may say some things that would cover what others would say, but I don't represent them. Hopefully, I'll say more so that there won't need to be repetition. I have some photographs that were taken of the area within about 2 months. The Williamsons live, as was reported earlier, on this lot right here, and the top photo with the orange tab that says my house, that's their house. There are several pictures of the area to be developed. As has been stated, it's in a rural area, but not being farmed, with a tree line back from the road, and there are several photographs of that from different angles. There's a photo of the building. It's called the farmhouse next door. It's the house that's located on this lot. I believe there was a question earlier as to whether there was a photograph submitted in the record. We have one here. And then there are several photographs of the kind of houses that exist in the general area. And lastly, two photos showing traffic on Route 9 at and around Sussex Tech and around the traffic light there. So with the President's permission.
Please do.
We have been in contact with the developer. Mr. Willard and I have spoken more than once, and we appreciate the suggestions that the applicant, has made to install a fence and also to organize their time and activities to minimize the effect on the neighbors. The fundamental issue is that the Williamsons don't want to have warehouses next door to their house. The area can be fairly described as mixed use, as Mr. Willard stated. This part of that area, they feel, is more residential, rural, agricultural. Sussex Tech is not very far off, and there's certainly economic activity in the area. To some extent, it's an area that hasn't really decided if it's going to be one or the other, and the residents would like to see the residential area, the residential aspect of the area, retained. The fact that the applicant intends to run a blown glass insulation business from the warehouses, Neighbors are concerned about noise. There is an employee of the applicant who lives next door. The house that's adjacent to, it's called the rental house, it was referred to earlier. His activities have been observed early morning startup. Some of the other witnesses here may speak about that. That's part of what's given rise to the concern about noise, is that there's noise now with just one truck. And if they're going to be 30 trucks, then that's their concern is that that'll just magnify that problem. The large septic system also has given rise to concerns of what exactly will be going on there. At first, there was a concern that there was some sort of mixing of chemicals or light manufacturing that went along with mere storage. I think that the applicant has adequately handled that and made it clear that there is no chemistry going on in the building. But the size of the septic system gave rise to some, I think, legitimate concerns as to exactly what was going to be going on in the building, and it seemed to be a system which exceeded by far the use that a septic system would be put to if it were for mere human waste disposal. Some of the information that the commission has heard tonight as far as the number of trucks, 30 trucks, albeit leaving in the morning and trickling in the afternoon and only being confined to weekday activities, that's still a lot more of that kind of activity than the Williamsons want to see. Tractor trailer load delivery per day was new information, and some eyes got really wide in the back of the room when that was reported. It's the kind of use that the property is going to be put to isn't consistent with what the neighbors want, certainly, and isn't consistent with what exists in the general area. And also there's a concern that if this conditional use is approved, first of all, yes, it is only a conditional use, and if the use exceeds that which is granted by this commission, it can be revoked. And then we'll still have two warehouses and parking there. It's not as if, even if the use is withdrawn, the conditional use permission, that it can go back to be rural, residential, or agricultural. And that if this is approved, it will be one more checkerboard square that has gone commercial rather than residential or rural or agricultural, and that could give rise to other applicants in the future who will point to it to as an indication that there is more commercial activity in the area. You just approved a commercial use application for a warehouse just down the road, and that there could be similar applications in the future. Then that could also affect property values for the people who live there. They view it as problematic if they have a warehouse next door, that if they decided to sell their lots, that would be at all helpful. I've written a letter. I'm not going to read it into the record because it's in the file. And I'm going to turn to my client to see if there's anything else that she would like to say that I have not said.
Ma'am, I need you to come up here. These mics are good, but they're not that good. Although I wonder.
My husband got the flu, so he gave me this responsibility tonight. My name's Melissa Williamson, and of course I have the Cape Cod that's not very far away from this. I do have a son that boards the bus within 400 feet of where all these trucks will be coming in and coming out. Route 9's already very busy in the morning. The bus driver had to change her route to pick him up where he doesn't have to cross the street. But there are other children right there that have to cross the street. This, Sussex Tech, this people that work here in Georgetown, it's busy in the morning and in the evenings, in the afternoon. Also, I feel that property value in the area would really decrease dramatically. Not just with my home, but the new homes that are going up at Whaley's Corner Road, there's a lot of them that back up that would be able to see the warehouse right there. There's new homes up at Route 9 right at the light that have went up. So it is turning into a residential area with a lot of people that I've met. Mrs. Teagle could not be here tonight. She wanted to be, but she was admitted to the hospital unexpectedly. Mr. Davis, he was going to call and talk with the commission. He had to speak at the college tonight. So both of them would have liked to have been here, but they just couldn't. But I truly hope you take in our concerns.
Well, we haven't started taking call-ins yet, but that's an interesting idea. You can tell Mr. Davis he could try that, but I have no idea what number to give him.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll say that we're not going to allow call-in testimony.
These lawyers, they love to say no.
So I'm glad that you got to listen to our concerns this evening.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but ma'am.
The two people you were talking about, where do they live in relation to this?
Mr. Davis lives right here.
Okay.
And he does have he has done the rifle, but it's never bothered any of us. He does it in the afternoon. He never does it in the early morning or in the late evenings. And he's very concerned about having this next door to him also. He has fields here, and it's always been, none of us would mind having a development. We would love it because it would raise our property values, not decrease it. I was kind of envious of everybody else that was here tonight talking about the developments, because I feel that would be great in our area.
Okay.
So.
And where's the other person live?
Mrs. Teagle, she has this property right here, and she has a house in this area. And unfortunately, things happened unexpectedly where she couldn't be here and where we wanted to be.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any questions for Mr. Corbin? Believe not.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
Robert Turpin.
I have a house on the adjoining area, and I would want to see all the truck traffic and the warehouses, and also the actually wastewater is like sewage, isn't it?
It's not like sewage.
It is sewage.
Yeah. And probably it'll end up getting in our aquifer and drinking water, you know. And I wouldn't want to see this happen in an area like this anyway. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
My name's Jeff Clausen, and I'm in opposition as far as a CU because I'd like to see that area basically stay residential. Pretty much what we do have there, I just don't want to keep opening the doors for conditional usage.
Do you live nearby?
Yeah, I live on Route 9, just a little bit before Whaley's Corner, probably. I mean, it's right within the area, right there at the stoplight.
Okay.
So it is, like I said, that's my concern as far as conditional usage in that area.
All right,
it's getting too much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Virginia Williams, and I live on Asbury Road. The problem that I see why they knew about this for 2 years, how come the people in the area did not know and just found out about it, that this was going to be a warehouse and all this? Why was it such a secret? So,
well, ma'am, I don't think it was a secret. It was when an applicant makes an application, it's
yes.
when we find out,
yes.
you know, when they bought the property, they don't have any obligation to run around and tell the neighbors what they're buying it for. But if they're going to use it in a manner that it is not approved to be used for or under its present zoning, then they have to make an application.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's advertised in the newspaper, and there is a sign put on the property. That
no one saw a sign, sir.
Public hearing.
No one saw it, and I mean, there's different ones that are, I know that.
I
just wanted to.
I know. I understand that, and you'd be amazed at how many people don't see those signs. I mean, we get this all the time. I think we need to use a bigger sign.
I think so, too.
Or maybe they put it in the woods where you couldn't see it. I don't know, but
it was not there, so.
But it was there.
County news sign was on site, but it was blown down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not that's
that was just that's just my question.
Yeah, I know, and that
and it's a lot of traffic, and my grandson getting on the bus, and I'm concerned about that.
I appreciate that
okay.
very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Come on down. Now, can you tell us something different than what we've already heard?
Not a whole lot.
Well, try because
my name is Phyllis Waterman, and. I live at 18296 County Seat Highway. I have two of the children that have to get on the school bus. One of them does have to cross the highway, and just 2 weeks ago, while the bus was out there, it was almost rear-ended by someone trying to pass it. The bus is forever passed out there, even with the red light. So the added traffic, and especially with summer coming on, you know, in summertime, you cannot get out of there. So these are our real concerns. They've answered the rest of my concerns. This is still my main concern with the children. And I've known Kenny for a while, and he's a very honorable man, so, you know, I don't think he was trying to do anything sneaky. But, you know, we just do have these concerns about it.
Well, none of it's anything personal.
Right.
All righty.
Thank
you. You. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
You don't have to be happy.
Never seen that. So far tonight, we've had somebody who said, "I'd love to have a development next door to me," and now we've got the opposition hugging the applicant.
Yep. First.
Okay then.
We better take call-ins.
I think maybe we're going to take those call-ins via the internet. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition that might have something different than's already been said? We've heard about the school kids and the whole thing, and you go one trip to a customer, ma'am, you've had your day. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? No. Anyone on the commission have any questions for either the applicant or any of the testifiers? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for spending your Thursday evening with us and invite you to stay. To see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.